This is a chapter called Jean-Francois Lyotard's Tensor Signs, T-E-N-S-O-R, and the passage to affect, not effect, but A. Jean-Francois Lyotard's Tensor Signs and the passage to effect. I think I should clear my throat just a second. Any thoughts yet from the title? Didn't spark anything in you? So he says, in this chapter, Gary Ganasco says, I will revisit Jean-Francois Lyotard's provocative introduction of an energetics into semiosis in the guise of tensor signs. In Lyotard's challenging book, called Libidinal Economy, 1993, these signs foreground unaccounted for and under-theorized movements, inflations and deflations, at times vertiginous, that means dizzying, and unstable relations. In a tradition of sign studies, often at odds with affect, this amounts to a critique of rationalist semiotic conceptual conservatism and denial sensuousness. So he's explaining that they are, or he's supporting thinkers against the old-fashioned semiotics. Libidinal economics is Lyotard's unraveling of discourse and structure. Likewise for Guattari, who we talked about earlier, the machine was a disruptive object. Now, remember we're talking about disequilibrium economics? Look at this. The machine was a disruptive object, remember how Roxy talked about the object, introducing disequilibrium into structure, and was modeled on psychoanalytic part objects, not complete objects, part objects. It is difficult to follow to the letter Mr. Readings in his Introducing Lyotard book in labeling Lyotard a deconstructive thinker. Mr. Readings is aware of the pitfalls of this claim, and despite citing some of Lyotard's objections to Derrida in several books, sticks with the label despite himself. I offer, says Gary, a different approach, with occasional comparisons with Derrida, based on how Lyotard's heightening of intensity opens the way to the rise of affect and the challenge it presents to semiotics in general, to which I turn in the second section of this chapter. So affect is sensuousness. So, there's this section under tensor sign. We find out that he's describing tactility. That's what's interesting here. So, I just read page 135. Now, we're going to find out what tensor signs are. And I have a big note. Tactility equals both and. So, I'm going to interpret what I'm going to read as an attempt to describe first-order tactility. That would be in the chemical body. Or second-order tactility, which would be in the android meme. So he says, Gary says, the great Mobian libidinal skin. So we have the Mobius strip is in the Dobbs quadrant on the tiny note chart. In brackets, after Mobium, it's folded yet one-sided. The great Mobian, folded yet one-sided, libidinal skin or band that Lyotard theoretically unfolds at the outset of his book, Libidinal Economy, is a field of intensities. Now, we know how Ein goes into the fields. Is a field of intensities, sometimes called forces. What's love? Force field. Subject to decay by means of devices that carve out interiorities, in brackets, those are representational theatrical chambers, and therefore brace themselves against some outside, and in so doing threaten the skin's pure affirmativeness. Quote, the operator of disintensification is exclusion, the disjunctive bar. Inside or outside, this or that, but not both at the same time. So what we're looking at is faulty tensors. They're not doing both at the same time. Not this, so something is or not, so the not this is the exterior negative relationality of the Saussurean sign. That's De Saussure. He started this sign talk, you know, over 100 years ago. So not this. So if you say something is not something, the not this is the exterior negative relationality of the Saussurean sign that cannot be treated in isolation. Leotard's penchant for this or that type disjunctions raises the question, from a Derridean perspective, of whether there are minimal and maximal states of absence. See, you know, there's absence. When Android meme is a void, you're dealing with maximal and minimal states of absence. Derrida suggests that pure absence differs from this or that. The concepts of difference and arbitrariness are two ways of slowing down the spinning bar. As Mr. Readings once joked, the sign in Saussure is a whole, H-O-L-E, because what it is really as much as what it is not. Maybe even more so, if any consideration of the sign's body is discounted. This is an apt Leotardian joke, as for him, the slowing down and cooling of the aleatoric movements of the spinning disjunctive bar that assists in producing the aforementioned skin, in brackets, the latter doesn't simply pre-exist the bar, but chicken and egg questions bored Leotard, end of bracket, in producing the aforementioned skin, leaves in its wake setups marked notably by their emptiness, in brackets, in the guise of lack, things lost, nihilistic decompressions, boundaries that need to be negotiated, and the discriminations to which they give rise, end of bracket. Perhaps Mr. Reading's whole, remember that, the whole we just talked about, perhaps Mr. Reading's whole has a finer coating put on it by Patrice Maniglier's insightful discussion, dated 2010, of how semiostructural displacement, the logic of the signifier versus the signified, was utilized by Jacques Lacan and members of a psychoanalytic school to maintain that the positionality of the sign, which included its own absence, could as a principle allow the subject's non-self-identity to support, in brackets guarantee, every term's non-self-identity in the signifying chain. Now notice, when Ayn's talking about us and he says, well, you're doing this, Bert, but even though you have already done it, all those contradictions, the way Ayn talks, is what's that being said here.
Yes.
Ayn is postmodern. At least he includes that. So then Gary says, further, the subject as an effect, not an affect, as an effect of relationality. Remember McLuhan said, objects are unobservable, only relations among objects are observable. The subject as an effect of, you don't have a subject unless you get some kind of relation. The subject as an effect of relationality and the lack of properties of terms in the negative differential structure was a move that vexed Deleuze in his book Difference and Repetition, or Difference and Repetition might be Derrida's book. Not sure. Was a move, let's check the index here, Deleuze. Did he do that book? Yes, he did. We've done a lot on Guattari, but his buddy is Deleuze, and Deleuze is more famous. So reading again, further, the subject as an effect of relationality and the lack of properties, in brackets, Saussure's without positive terms, and the lack of properties of terms in the negative differential structure was a move that vexed Deleuze in his book Difference and Repetition in his thinking of plurality and positive multiplicity against the reduction of difference to opposition, especially by linguists. So the old literate linguists are the opposition. As an anti-structural masterpiece, one could claim that the very thrust of Deleuze and Guattari's book Anti-Oedipus, 1977, the thrust of it is to find, quote, a pure positive multiplicity, not negative, not lacking, not answerable to difference, sounds like Ion, or an angle that Ion takes, but full of possibilities, transversal connections, and a signifying terms in the chain, all squirreled away in the deepest recesses of structuralism, no less. That's the old stuff, structuralism. It is worth noting that Leotard, in his book Discourse figure. Look at that. Discourse, figure, ground. Figure and ground. Discourse, figure. Discourse is a figure. He recognized that the Saussurean sign and law of value contain a specific force of negativity or negative difference, but it is not the only no he will work with. For instance, structural linguistics, deferral of designation, and the inability to account for reference are regained as instances of the introduction of figural visibility into the otherwise circumscribed system. I will return to this strategy later in the discussion. Now, I'm going to reread this because you didn't know where it was going. Now you have a rudimentary awareness of the language and the difficulty and the view and where it's going. All right?
Great.
I'll agree that, because this time you'll get more of it. But think of how, if you were to describe Ion's paradoxes, like you are moving forward, yet you're already there. You don't exist, but the power's in your words. All these sort of contradictory stuff is the language of these modern scholars, shall we say, paramodern. And it's almost the nature of the electric, digital, electronic environment, this presence-absence aspect. And so these guys are trying to fit it in book language, and Ion is erasing, moving around its effects. It must include the description of these effects, affects, A-F-F-E-C-T, but Ion moves forward with the substances. So all this on-off interplay, that's the view of tactility. Tactility sees that, orchestrates it somehow. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So are you ready?
Yes.
The great Mobian strip, libidinal skin. So the great Mobian, folded yet one-sided, libidinal skin or band that Lyotard theoretically unfolds at the outset of his book Libidinal Economy is a field of intensities. See, tactility looks at a field of intensities, orchestrates it, molds it, but it's not any of those particular intensities. And these can be called forces. Subject to decay by means of devices that carve out interiorities. Now that would be Bruce Powell's soul that he was talking about last week, which I said was an effective visual space. And it said as much here. Interiorities are representational theatrical chambers. That's your mind, your literate mind, representational theatrical chambers. You act out scenarios in your mind. So because Lyotard unfolds at the outset a field of intensities, which are forces subject to decay, and therefore these forces brace themselves against some outside, and in so doing threaten the skin's pure affirmativeness. So the tactile skin has no inside outside. But if you start projecting and looking at the outer kingdom, then contrast comes to you. So then a little description of the skin's pure affirmativeness. Quote, the operator of disintensification is exclusion, which is the disjunctive bar. So some kind of walling action is implied if you're not paying full attention. You're disintensified. So if you're not paying attention, you are excluding. Inside or outside, this or that, there's your both, but not both at the same time. See, when you put the or, either or in there, that's visual space. Inside or outside, this or that, but not both at the same time. Not this, one of the conditions, not this is the exterior negative relationality of the Saussurean sign that cannot be treated in isolation. There's McLuhan's point. Nothing in isolation. Lyotard's penchant for this or that type disjunctions raises the question, from a Derridean perspective, of whether there are minimal and maximal states of absence. This or that becomes minimal or maximal states of absence. Derrida suggests that pure absence differs from this or that. So pure absence is not, it's a both situation, both and, which is tactility. So Derrida, Hocking, all these guys hoke up Hoikop, the more radical of them, the more outsider, they are working with tactility, whether they know it or not. Derrida suggests that pure absence differs from this or that. The concepts of difference and arbitrariness are two ways of slowing down the spinning bar. So if you start making distinctions, you slow down the spinning bar, which might be kind of a consciousness. As Mr. Readings once joked, the sign in Saussure is a whole because what it is really as much what it is not. Maybe even more so if any consideration of the sign's body is discounted. Now, if you take tactility and extend it as an environment, the nothingness of tactility becomes your ground. So that something, the whole of tactility, because you can't visualize it, becomes what it is, and that's as much as what it is not. Maybe even more so, if any consideration of the sign's body is discounted. If you get rid of the sign's body, then you are in the whole, which is as real as it is not. You thought it was not because you got rid of the sign's body. Now, this is an apt Lyotardian joke. As for him, the slowing down and cooling of the chance movements, he calls it aleatoric movements, of the spinning disjunctive bar, the slowing down and cooling of the aleatoric movements of the bar, that assists in producing the aforementioned skin, that was the Mobian libidinal skin, or rapid tactility as an economic marker. This spinning disjunctive bar that assists in producing the aforementioned skin, in brackets, the latter doesn't simply pre-exist the bar, but chicken and egg questions board Lyotard, end of bracket. The aforementioned skin leaves in its wake setups marked notably by their emptiness. That means in the guise of lack, things lost, nihilistic decompressions, boundaries that need to be negotiated, and the discriminations to which they give rise. All of that nothingness as a setup leaves in its wake setups marked notably by their emptiness. Our products probably fulfill that emptiness or counter. So Gary Ganosko says, perhaps Mr. Reading's hole, that's the tactile hole, has a finer coating put on it by Patrice Maniglier's 2010 insightful discussion of how semiostructural displacement, the logic of the signifier, was utilized by Jacques Lacan and members of a psychoanalytic school to maintain that the positionality of the sign, you know, what, where, when, why, which included its own absence, you got to include that, could, as a principle, so to maintain that the positionality of the sign could, as a principle, allow the subject's non-self-identity, that's what you guys all have, a non-self-identity, to support every term's non-self-identity in the signifying change, to support the reality of every phase in the signifying chain of self, of non-self-identity. Further, the subject as an effect of relationality, there's that interplay, and the lack of properties, that's Saussure's without positive terms. So further, the subject, you, the person, as an effect of relationality and the lack of properties of terms in the negative differential structure, all that was a move that vexed Deleuze in his book Difference and Repetition, in his thinking of plurality and positive multiplicity against the reduction of difference to opposition, especially by linguists. So these uptight, visually biased people are being asked to leave the scene. And we're going to bring in a more Bobplexity, incredible re-Bobplexity, that will make your simple dialectics of objection or support seem a waste of prime. So this pure positive multiplicity, colon, it's described as not negative, not lacking, not answerable to difference, but full of possibilities, transversal connections, and a signifying terms in the chain, all squirreled away in the deepest recesses of structuralism, no less, old-fashioned structuralism. It is worth noting that Lyotard, in Discourse Figure, recognized that the Saussurean sign and law of value contain a specific force of negativity, or negative difference, but is not the only no he will work with. For instance, structural linguistics' deferral of designation and the inability to account for reference are regained as instances of the introduction of figural visibility into the otherwise circumscribed system. I will return to this strategy later in the discussion. So, reading that again. As an anti-structural masterpiece, so no structure, one could claim that the very thrust of Deleuze and Guattari's anti-Oedipus is to find a pure positive multiplicity. Not negative, not lacking, not answerable to difference, but full of possibilities, transversal connections, and a-signifying terms in the chain, all squirreled away in the deepest recesses of structuralism, or visual space, no less. It is worth noting that Lyotard, in Discourse Figure, recognized that the Saussurean sign and law of value contain a specific force of negativity, negative difference, but is not the only no he will work with. For instance, structural linguistics' deferral of designation, they don't want to designate, and the inability to account for reference, all visual space stuff, are regained. So the deferral of designation and the inability to account for reference are regained as instances of the introduction of figural visibility into the otherwise circumscribed system. So they went non-visual, and then they retrieved the anti-visual, and that worked out for the visual. It led to the introduction of figural visibility. You get that? Isn't that interesting? In terms of babble, but it makes sense if you have been processed by ION.
Yes, but thank goodness for your filter.
Yes, nobody would understand it without my talking.
No, no, no. Was this guy taught by a Croker?
He would have read Croker. He wrote a book on McLuhan and Baudrillard. Yeah, he wrote a book on McLuhan and Baudrillard. And if you're into Baudrillard, you got to read Croker, because he was one of the main experts on Baudrillard. So you recognize it. And remember, they're all talking with the same jargon created by Baudrillard, Lyotard, Deleuze,
yeah.
Guattari, you know, these basic postmoderns, as Derek de Kirchhoff said to me, terrorists, intellectual terrorists. And they were following the great terrorist, Marshall McLuhan, who learned a lot of stuff from my background. So we're talking about me here. I'm a tensor sign.
Oh, I mean, thank goodness for your filter, Bob. Because, I mean, what it is that I have Croker's Possessed book where he's talking
that
about...
That would have an essay on a lot... That's the book to have. It has an essay on all these guys. Lyotard, Baudrillard, Deleuze and Guattari.
Yes,
that's
Deleuze
the point
and Guattari. That's who he starts off with. He starts off... Now, because it kicked my ass so much and I'm being competitive, I'm going to go back and start over.
Yes.
And read it, because it's just like, because listening to you talk, read Ganofsky, I'm like, damn, this sounds just like Croker, but damn, it seems, but it is like, it's thick Croker. Now I think I can go back and I can understand Croker.
Yes. Croker's simpler because... Because Gary is relating it to semiotic history, the guys before Derrida. When you read Derrida and these guys, you're reading their take on these previous guys. But this is more of a tour guide through this stuff. So it's a very cluttered. But Gary puts it in reasonable order once you get it. But the point is for me, when I read this stuff, I can hear ION. See, I want to get you guys to that place that this complexity is included in ION's almost brilliant equalizing of it, simplifying of it, or complexifying it. He's doing everything, the absence and the presence that they're talking about. ION is the environment of it. And when you see that, then you really can appreciate what ION's doing that no one else can, unless they have... The way I look at it, at least on a complexity level, you can be simple, but we're not simple. So you have to have a complex part of yourself, too. You can call that the social mortar self. So it's worth going back and looking at this. Now, there's not many minutes left, but I want to read a little bit more. So he goes, after saying all that, he says, it is helpful to ask Derrida about the conditions affecting force and signification. For Derrida, force is defeated by structure, or at least neutralized by it, even if this too is a force of sorts. It's almost like the Ion saying, you know, get rid of the labyrinth of your mind. You're interrupting your force. But see, these guys are conceptual, so they don't tell you to use your words. In Lyotard's philosophy, a sign is the kind of concept, in brackets, representation or theater by other names. Remember, concept, visual space, the soul was the representational theatrical chambers. That's what he says here. The kind of concept, which is representation or theater by other names, that manages intensities by means of dualities. For example, presence versus absence. Now, that's visual bias. Yet the skin is not good and the sign not bad. Or to put it differently, certain setups are not better than others. Not from the tactile point of view. They all need to be accounted for and, for that matter, loved. Loved in quotes, Lyotard suggests. It's hard to say why exactly, Lyotard admits, except, you know, why should we love them? Except to reiterate the priority given to desire. And Lyotard's rejection of demands for clarity. He rejects anybody who says, hey, could you explain that again? As well as his recourse to specific words like force, anonymous, etc. You can see this is sort of like writing after fitting his wake, whether you know a fitting wake or not. The electric environment forces you to be like this if you're being pretty perceptive. Mostly, setups drift. Lyotard does a lot on drift. Setups drift. And Coker has a book called Body Drift, talking about the different bodies. Mostly, setups drift, and that's in quotes, despite themselves, away from their moorings. So the way the mind can't establish something really precisely and hold it, that's what's being said here. The setups drift away from their moorings, you know, away from the shore structure, what do you call that, dock. And this is what pure departures look like from the shores of Lyotard's theoretical masters. Who are they? Marx, Freud, and Saussure. So if you process those guys, and you're looking for, you see what you see on the shores, you see pure departures. Intensities are what matter here. And the more intense the thought of them, the more libidinal such thought is. Sounds like you start watching porn or something, which cannot be described as clear, but rather as tumultuous. The temptation for the reader is simply to plug into the circuit and enjoy the fireworks. That's the temptation, not what Gary wants to do. Because Gary says, my focus is on departures. Remember we said they drift away from their moorings, and this is what pure departures look like. This is like I'd say, the drift of your mind is very pure. My focus is on departures, says Gary. Departures from neutral signs, in brackets, although Baudrillard certainly disabused semioticians of this notion of neutral signs. The so-called spinning bar already suggests the bar between the signifier and signified. Those are old terms from Saussure. Yet Saussure's bar is not disjunctive, but like the cutting edge of the paper upon whose front and back of the sign's immaterial body is imagined. That's a bit difficult. But like the cutting edge of the paper, upon whose front and back of the paper of the signs immaterial body is imagined. So on the piece of paper, you imagine the immaterial. But like the cutting edge of the paper, upon whose front and back of the signs immaterial body is imagined. Lyotard introduces two kinds of signs, intense and significational. Ion does that. He's intense and he signifies. The quote from Lyotard, the intense sign which engenders a libidinal body abandons this vast Mobian skin, and we started with the Mobian skin. The intense sign which engenders a libidinal body abandons this vast Mobian skin to the significative sign, to the signifying sign. The Mobian skin would be tactility. The singularity of a passage or a voyage of affect is herded, closed up into a communicable trace. Like a particle trace, subatomic particles, very brief glimpses. Now, he then says, what he just read, the intense sign, which engenders a libidinal body, abandons its vast moving skin to the significative sign, the singularity of a passage or a voyage of effects is herded and closed up into a communicable trace. And Gary says, the passage described here is from the singular to the structural, based on distinctive oppositions and precise differences. How do the tensorial, and defines the tensorial as libido, force, intensity, and the sign combine? So how is love a force field? How is it involve libido, force, intensity, and combined with a visual reference point? How does a tensor sign sustain its singularity? For Lyotard, signs both replace, in brackets, substitute, and call up the things for which they stand in for someone. And in this signification is dematerializing, in brackets. Additionally, such things are not outside of the semiotic sphere and are themselves signs. As the world is perfused, as Pierce would say from the 19th century, the world is perfused with signs. End of bracket. Yet dematerialization is not identical to de-intensification, which means making something signify is still a force. It presents other opportunities for libidinal fluxes. So, why would someone write this nonsense? Why would you? What are you appealing to now? If you don't have the RNA drops and the breakthrough of ionic being, you will think writing is like this is significant. Now I'm not saying it's a waste of time because I can put significance in it, into it on a level that's not meant here, but we do have concepts like love is a force field, not an emotion. Sounds like what this guy is trying to say with the word intention.
Yeah. Yes.
There be nothing to fix, hold, fold.
Here it is, describing the hole, the void, the tactile interval.
Nothing to sleep on.
He's not emotionally identifying with it.
Nothing to hide, forget, or figure out. Nothing to conceal or carry. Break, wear down, wear out, bury, sweetheart.